The Agriculture Department is trying to bring new and younger blood into farming and ranching. A new website provides one-stop shopping for resources available to new farmers from the latest farm bill. Krista Hardin is the Deputy Secretary of the Agriculture Department. She says the initiative is needed when you consider the average farmer and rancher is 58 years old.
Oh, it concerns us a lot. I mean, and it gets older every census, it seems. And so it's a large concern for us, and it's a personal concern for me. I mentioned to y'all that I'm daughter of farmers, and they were in their early 70s. And my sister and I, are neither one, are going to go back to the farm, and we don't have kids of our own. So this is a personal issue for me. In the aggregate, obviously, it's very important, and it's something all of us in the U.S. should really be thinking about and considering. If we don't have, you know, young people coming into this industry, what that might mean for the future of the country. So it is something we focus on a lot at USDA. Again, it's a personal issue for me as well as one that the Secretary thinks about, all of our leadership thinks about, and we really are trying to help craft our programs and our policies so they are available and they're useful resources for young people. And it's kind of a couple of different categories of folks interested in agriculture. Many of them grew up on farms or ranches and are thinking about coming back. So we want to make sure that they have the tools they need to. They have one benefit in most cases is they do have access to land. But if you're a kid that didn't grow up, you know, on a farm or a ranch, and you're really thinking about how do I get into agriculture, it's really tough if you don't have access to that land and capital. Obviously, just equipment costs are very high. All the technology that is needed for agriculture, it's very difficult for folks to start in, and we try to make it easier for young folks who didn't have, you know, a background in agriculture to have access to information, to our programs, and just to real to that kind of business sense that you really need in agriculture. So we're looking at this from a lot of different angles, trying to make sure that we are accessible to young folks. But you also have returning veterans who may have grown up in a rural area and want to come back to the land. It's something healing about the land. So we're working with those. A lot of women are really interested in getting into agriculture, socially disadvantaged.
Let's just talk a minute about the family farm, though. So you've got some aging farmers. And one of the barriers I've understood is that the inheritance taxes or the taxes paid on a transfer of a farm can be prohibitive. And then you've got the issue of maybe young children see how difficult agriculture can be and simply don't want to do it. So is this a way of helping some of the incentives you set up? Are they there to help some of the aging farmers have a way of economically selling their farms?
Right, and exactly right. I'll talk about the specific program I think you're mentioning. It's the Conservation Reserve Program's Transition Incentives Program. That's a mouthful. But really, a CRP is a program that's a voluntary conservation program that's been around really since 1985, I think. And it helps farmers and ranchers. It provides incentives for them to not farm their most very fragile lands. And this is a transition program that allows for retiring farmers to continue participating in the program as they make that transition out of agriculture and a new farmer is coming in. So it's a good an incentive for kind of both the retiring farmer as well as a socially disadvantaged or a military veteran or a beginning producer to come in and return the land to sustainable grazing or crop production. So it's really a win-win for both the established farmer who's retiring and the new folks getting involved.
We're speaking with Krista Hardin. She's the Deputy Secretary at the Department of Agriculture. And you mentioned that this was of concern to the future of the country, but also to the future of your department. You're the Agriculture Department. So how have your programs and services been changed by the changing demographics? And how are you planning to reverse the trend?
Well, we're certainly having more and more of a focus, I think, on beginning farmers and helping folks get involved in agriculture, some of them for the very first time. So it's an awareness. It's our communications. It's our education and training tools. There's a great program included in the most recent Farm Bill, increases funding for our beginning farmer and rancher development program, which is really about providing funding for groups who are doing outreach and education and training to first farmers. So we're focusing on that. Some of our loan programs, some of our smallest loan programs, we're making streamlining the application process, cutting down on the paperwork. So a new farmer just starting out can get involved in our programs very quickly in more of a focused, streamlined way. You know, it's awareness. It's making sure that we're talking differently. We're reaching out to folks maybe we have not in the past. We have a great system across the country in many counties across the U.S. that we're making sure our personnel is aware. They, you know, we want to reach out to new customers. We want to make sure that we're there as a very valuable resource and source of information for them. So it's a different way of thinking, but it's also exciting. Folks are really looking forward now to getting in agriculture, some folks for the very first time. We're growing local markets, regional markets, a real focus there on not only on farmers markets, which a lot of people think about, but food hubs where you can bring people in and they can work together to create a new market, as well as trade overseas for some of our larger commodities.
So walk us through a scenario here. Say I'm a farmer and I've had my farm for many years. I've got however many acres I've got, and I've got a blue Ford tractor and so on. And I'm ready to retire. I want to start transitioning to my post-farming life. And let's say there's a veteran that is coming home or decides this is the kind of thing he or she wants to do. How does the program work specifically? Is it like a buy-down? How does it transfer?
Well, the CRP program you're talking about, the transition program, only works if the farmer who's wanting to retire actually already has land in CRP. So it's not going to work for everybody. There are other ways that we can work with farmers and transition our extension service. Also has programs that help, you know, work with kind of the business planning part of that, the retirement planning for many producers. If they don't have a family member coming back and they want to reach out to that, you know, the returning veteran or a new immigrant family in their community who says, hey, I love to farm but don't have the land. So there are different resources. The one we're talking about here, the Transition Incentives Program for CRP, really applies to farmers who have land in CRP, and they can work with a new farmer and saying, hey, there's a transition for me, but also for you. There's incentive for both of us. So it takes some away of the financial burden up front. It provides access to the land for a new farmer. But also this retiring farmer who's dependent on their land for their income, they have, you know, they have issues, financial issues as well, that they must work through.
And we think of food security as really a question of sort of big agribusiness providing food and stocking supermarkets and the like. Do you see this question of the age of farmers and ranchers as something that is tied to the question of food security for this country?
I think in the long term it could be if we don't make, you know, good decisions now and make the investments now and really go into the situation in a positive way. We work very closely with our education institutions, our land-grant colleges, and others across the country, making sure that we're providing good education and training for our kids. They're also getting business training, and they see agriculture as a business. I think that's very important as well. Again, this awareness and bringing all the different players to the table who have a stake in this, the financial institutions as well, the credit systems. We work closely with Farm Credit and banks across the country, making sure that there's good awareness of what is needed to be into farming. It's a great discussion right now that a lot of folks are coming to the table, are really having this awareness, talking about this and making sure that anyone interested in agriculture knows it's a great business, maybe a family business, but it's a business, and that there are tools here at USDA that can help you, whether you're returning back to a family farm or a ranch, or you want to get in agriculture for the very first time. We actually do have some new tools, some web-based tools to help folks.
And do you have any metrics or any way that you are measuring whether all of this is actually paying off and changing people's lives and their career choices?
I think you're reading our mind, Emily, because that's something we're talking about right now, is how do we measure? Just, you know, giving X number of microloans, and those microloans are available for new farmers who have farmed less than 10 years. Do they stay on the farm after those 10 years? Those are questions we've got to make sure that we are measuring, we are asking. We do have an economic research service here. We have a statistics service that does our census. So we're making sure that in the future that we are tracking, these kind of elements to make sure that we really are going to be growing the new crop of farmers and ranchers.